Life at sea can be rewarding, but the pressures can be challenging too. Seize the Mind train seafarers to become mental health first aiders, vital for both well-being and safety on board. Mental health first aid helps identify depression, anxiety, and burnout, creating safer, more supportive environments. Our globally recognized courses equip crew with the tools to support themselves and to support each other. Support your crew's mental well-being. Book your training with Seize the Mind today. Seize the Mind, mental health first aid for seafarers. Visit seizethemind.co.uk for more information.
Hello and welcome to this episode of YPAL's Tales from the Seafloor Laundry. I have the pleasure of being joined by Jess Dunnett from Onshore Sellers and the Blue Duck Foundation. We've come together today to do a very special episode. This is in relation to an initiative that we are executing in the Monaco Yacht Show this year. Because of a series of events that happened last year, and like myself, Jess doesn't want any other incidents to ever happen to any other woman. So welcome. Thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Hi, everybody.
So the subject of this podcast is drink spiking. And we have decided to make it our mission this year to ensure that drink spiking doesn't happen at this Monaco Yacht Show. I do believe, as women, we have earned the right to not have to worry about stuff like this at the Monaco Yacht Show. I believe we deserve to swan around, drink our French water, rosé, and relax and enjoy ourselves and try to do business at the same time without the worry of some predatory individual cruising around trying to sabotage our show. So we decided to club together with a couple of a few other companies to basically say no and prevent anything like this from happening. But let me take you all back to last year. So, Jess, how was your show going last year?
Oh, amazing. I had an incredible show up until Friday night.
So it was sunny. It was sunny last year. It was busy.
Beautiful, busy, lots of clients, lots of networking, lots of parties. You know, as a drink supplier, I was there running a bar from the Wednesday all the way through, and we've got, you know, many people coming and going, and it was amazing. I thought the vibe was incredible last year. Had lots of incredible feedback from the summer, and yeah, all a very, very good show.
I mean, the Monaco Yacht Show, let's be honest, like, the vibe is always good. You know, it is a marathon business drinking event for most people.
For most people, and I think that's a lot of parties, a lot of networking opportunities that all seem to coincide with drinking alcohol. But let's face it, we've all finished the end of the summer, and that's what a networking event is. With, you know, drinking rosé, drinking wine, having a beer with clients and catching up, and doing business.
I never really thought about it, actually. It's like the end of the mid-season blowout. That's probably why we get so...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think it's the mark of the finish of that summer season.
I suppose for a lot of suppliers and management companies and things like that, it's literally, that's the klaxon sound for the start of their busy period, but it's kind of the end of yours, so you must have kind of been looking forward to just relaxing, enjoying yourself.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, these days I find there's no distinct seasons anymore. It just blends all into one. I feel like our summers start earlier, and I mean, we still get trips after the Monaco show. We just still get calls for last minute charters and things happening, so Yes and no, but definitely for me, with my role in the company at Onshore Sellers for marketing and events, the end of Monica Yacht Show is my like, whew, breather. I can breathe again, and I then start getting prepared for Antigua. But it's my like, once that's done, you know, oh, thank goodness. Okay, I can have a bit of a breather. So yes, for me, certainly. I was very much looking forward to having a bit of downtime after a really busy summer and after a great show, but it didn't turn out that way for me.
So obviously the Monaco show starts on a Wednesday. Most business is done by the Friday, you know, so it's kind of the B2B stuff is done by the Friday. There is stuff that goes on obviously on the Saturday, but most of the important stuff's kind of been and gone. So you were off, you know, what, take me back to Friday night.
So we'd had, so we run a stand every year. We run the bar for superyachts.com. It's a really busy networking area. Lots of clients, lots of people. We'd had stand parties throughout the week as well. The Friday was, we didn't have a party on the Friday night. We would finished up our stand. I actually had a great opportunity to go out on a tender with Brabus and you know, all Monaco shows I've always been asked in the past, and I've always said no, I'm too busy, and I was like, you know what, oh yes, I'll do it. And I had an absolute blast with the girls from Liquid Yachtwear and Alex from Yachty World.
Nice.
Brabus zoomed us around, came back in on a high, finished up some meetings. We then decided to go for dinner because we'd finished up at the stand. Successful day. Went to dinner, had some dinner with a few friends and some brokers that we've were on the stand with, had a really delightful dinner, decided to go for one more drink, and that's kind of where everything went pear-shaped. And it was one drink, and we left after the one drink. I remember walking, we were staying up in the back of Monaco, where going up all the stairs, and you know, we'd had some wine at dinner, but we'd had wine at dinner, and I'd had one drink at a bar, and Ed kind of said, "Look, Ed, my husband and co-founder of Onshore Sellers, was like, look, you know what? We've got one more day left. Let's go." Which is very responsible for Ed.
By the Friday, you're knackered. You know, like,
We're exhausted. Yeah. We are exhausted. We've been there since Tuesday. We always hosted the Icon Connect party on the Tuesday. So we've been going since Tuesday. We're done. We're really done. And we're older these days. You know, it's not really, I can't back it up anymore. Not what I used to be able to do. So we had one drink. We left. I remember walking through the train station, up some stairs, and then it goes dark for me. It just goes completely dark, and I don't remember anything until waking up the following morning and having Ed recount what had happened, which is an extremely scary feeling to have woken up in my bed going, where am I? What's happened? Why are my shoes on the floor? Why do I feel horrific, feeling sick? And Ed racing in because he heard that I'd woken up. Are you okay? Are you all right? And then going, what the hell happened? So, frightening.
So let's just set the scene. So you're walking back to your accommodation, and it's you and Ed, or you with others as well?
Just Ed and I. So we've left the bar, a popular bar in Monaco, and we've made our walk back, and now I have to go off what Ed is now. He's replaying the evening for me, basically, because I don't remember a thing. I go completely dark. The last memory I have is walking up some of the stairs and starting to feel a little bit weird. Ed then says to me, I've collapsed in the stairwell of going up. I don't know if anybody would know, if you stay up the back of Monaco, you can go up through the car parks and up through these stairwells to cut your way up. So we were in one of those stairwells, and I've apparently fallen and gone like an absolute dead weight. I've thrown up, I've fallen on the ground in the stairwell, and he can't lift me. He's like, can't lift me, trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because he's like, this is weird. And at first, he recalls saying he just thought I was, he was like, how did you get like this? Like, what the hell? How did this even happen? We've gone for dinner and had a drink after dinner. How is this happening? But could not lift me for the life of him, dragging me up the stairs. I'd fall over again. I was an absolute dead weight. So lifeless, absolutely lifeless. Ed then said that he started to panic because we were in a stairwell. He was worried that if he left me to go get help, the doors might lock behind me and he wouldn't be able to get back in.
Oh,
so he's yelling out in the stairwell, hoping that somebody else is around. You know, 10 minutes go by and nobody's around. He doesn't really know what to do. He's yelling, nobody's around. Worried to get me out. He finally drags me up the stairwell after me kind of falling, but he's saying that I was just an absolute dead weight. There was just, I was lifeless. We get out the top. He flags down somebody on the side of the road to help us. And then it's getting us back to the apartment, putting me down. He went to he's called the police, said what's happened. We've stayed. I was in a safe environment with him, but it didn't click for him, I think, for a while, for him to go, something's happened, you've drunk something. So he, you know, looking back on it, I think Ed said, I should have called the ambulance straight away. But in the time and in the moment, it's really difficult for those, you know, processes to go through. He said, his focus was getting me back to the apartment in the bed and safe.
But surely there's moments of kind of like, I imagine Ed's kind of recounting, like, is there a chance that she did have an opportunity to drink a whole load of more drink?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're at dinner and stuff like that, like, did she manage to drink another bottle without me knowing?
Like, he was like, oh, I was really angry with you at first, because he was like, I'm really tired, I can't be dealing with this shit. He's like, oh, get up, I can't be dealing with this, I need to get you home, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. And then it started to click that something was wrong. Then it started to really, he started to panic, going, this is not like Jess, this is not, I've never in the 15 years we've been together on boat, you know, a lot of that time on boats in our early party days, never ever seen me like this. So he did realize that something was wrong, but I think his focus was just get her back to the apartment, get her safe. You know, he said he didn't sleep all night, just lay next to me, watching me, making sure I was breathing. And, you know, thank God I've got a loving husband that was doing that, looking after me. But in hindsight, probably should have called an ambulance so that I could have been tested, because I don't know what was put in my drink. I don't know if I had it in my drink, whether I didn't have any. I had bruises from Ed trying to pull me up the stairs, but I know there are some incidents where people have had a needle in the back of their arm.
Yes. Yep.
Different ways. So I didn't know what had gotten into my body, which then is, you know, in hindsight, I wish I knew for dealing with this. I wish I knew exactly what had happened and how it might have come about, because that is probably been the hardest thing for me to deal with. I'm now riddled with anxiety of going to a bar thinking, okay, I might just have a Corona and watch them open the Corona rather than have a rum and coke or a cocktail, because I'm really nervous. Mm-hmm. And I'm really nervous of, was it the bartenders? Was it when I was out in the garden? Was it somebody I knew? I have no idea.
So when you woke up in the morning, like what are your first memories of when you actually came to?
I have I don't recall anything. It was Ed starting to tell me what had happened. I got really, really emotional and scared, and I felt violated. I felt absolutely violated. I felt like the control had been taken away from me entirely. I felt dirty. I felt really dirty and very, quite scared, very emotional. And as Ed was talking to me, nothing was really coming back at all. Like, I'm like, how? I remember leaving the bar. I remember walking through the train station. And then it took a lot of recounts of what had happened for Ed to continue to tell me that I'm like, still to this day, there's a lot of it. I'm only going off what Ed's told me. It's a complete blank. And that is the scariest part. And I am lucky. I am so lucky that Ed was with me and that I had somebody with me. If I was walking home on my own, I could have fallen and fallen into the port. I could have been followed. I could have been robbed, or I could have had something extremely malicious happen to me.
Well,
thankfully, I had my husband with me, who looked after me and got me to a safe environment. But it does not shake the feeling, and it has taken a long time. I still feel it now leading up to the show. I've got a lot of anxiety about going. I'm feeling quite nervous. I feel as well, this is why I'm here talking to you. I feel like I have a duty of care to, especially as a wine and spirit provider, we're an alcohol provider as my business. I feel like I do have some form of duty of care to talk openly about this and how dangerous this can be. And it's just,
did you contact the bar?
Yes, multiple times. Contacted them, tried to call, left reviews on TripAdvisor that got taken down because they weren't answering me on any of the platforms that I tried to contact them with. We called the police. We had said what had happened, but I didn't have the police come down to the venue or anything in Monaco. You kind of have to do it straight away. And I think it's within 24 hours. We'd called the police and I'd made my report, but on the Saturday, we still had a stand to run. I didn't go to the stand, but Ed, after he knew I was safe, my mum drove to Monaco to come and pick me up. So very thankful I had my parents from Australia over as well. Mum drove to collect me and took me home to my boys and back to my home in Moisatu. But what we should have done, and this is, for, I think, especially for if this does happen to anybody, is to make sure you get that filing with the police straight away, because they took in the report, but they're not going to do anything about it. I didn't really get much from them. They reported it. It's written down. That's about it.
I think that's one of the things with drink spiking that, and it's, I suppose in a way it's a bit like any sexual assault, rape, as a woman, when you are violated to whatever degree, you do turn into a homing pigeon. You want to go to a safe space,
safe place,
fast as possible.
Yeah.
Which when it comes down to the legal side of trying to catch a perpetrator is possibly the worst thing you can do. It is, you are desperate to just kind of work out what the hell has gone on.
There's Ed.
Work out what's gone on. But ultimately, when it comes to reporting, you kind of need to stay in that moment and bring those coppers to you in that moment.
And this is where going to the hospital is almost beneficial, because you can at least have that report from the hospital of what's in your system to take to the police to say, this is what's been in my system. And this is, you know, looking back on it, obviously I hope this never happens to me again or anybody that I know, but I know now of things that we should have done. Absolutely. But it is, as you say, Ed wanted to get me to a safe place. The following day, the way I felt, I just wanted to be in my own bed, in my own space and away from it. I just wanted to be away. I just did not want to face anybody. I didn't want to have to talk to anybody about what had just happened. And to be honest, I felt really weird all day. Not until I probably went to bed at about 8 o'clock that on the Saturday night, I felt really strange, like I had something in me, like quite tingly, quite nauseous. Really did not feel well at all.
So it really felt like whatever it was probably still in your system.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we can all go into the different. It's disappointing that the venue reacted that way. But if I think to when I was spiked, so I was spiked in a hotel in Barcelona. So this was when I was still working on board. My husband, Tim, we were dating. So what we'd do, we would book a very nice hotel for the weekend. He would fly in, you know, we'd have a fun time. And then I'd go back to the boat on the Monday. So it was the Friday, and Tim was flying in, and I got to the hotel, obviously finished work, got to the hotel early, got ready because he was coming in. So, you know, I got to the hotel, had a shower, spruced myself up, had a gin that was actually complimentary in the room. That's how I know I only had one gin.
Yeah.
So it's like the miniature, there was two miniature bottles and a bottle of tonic and some ice. That's what they, you know, complimentary. There's a bunch of other stuff, but I just had the gin. So I got ready because he was, as soon as he was coming in, we were going to go for dinner. So I went downstairs, took my book because I felt all sophisticated sitting in this nice hotel bar with my book, drinking a glass of champagne. And me and Tim are texting, you know, he's in the air and stuff like that. And we came to the decision that we were going to pretend like we didn't know each other. So we were just going to mess around, and I wanted him to rock up and try and chat me up like we didn't know each other, you know, like because he kept saying that he'd got really good game. And I'm like, you haven't got good game. So I was like, I'll be waiting at the bar. You can try your luck kind of thing. So we turn it into a game. So while I was waiting for Tim to turn up, there was this guy sat on one of these sofa things, and he was sat at the other end. So anyway, I'm reading my book, and I can keep, you know, in your peripheral vision, I kept seeing him look over and stuff like that. And then he's like, oh, you know, hi, how you doing? You know, are you here? I'm like, oh, no, I work in Barcelona. Yeah. He was like, oh, can I get you a drink? I was like, no, I'm fine. I've just got my glass of champagne, so thank you very much. Anyway, this goes on, and he's just constantly trying to talk to me, and I'm like, I want to read my book, go away. And then obviously I'm getting messages, like Tim's like, I've just landed, I'm picking up my luggage. I'm hoping you're ready for all of this amazing chat-up lines I'm going to have. So like, So anyway, this guy's like chatting away, and he just keeps, you know, he was like, all right, can I get you a drink? And I'm like, right, okay, fine. So I'd finished my champagne by then. So anyway, he goes, gets a drink, come down, and then I feel like I have to talk to him because he's bought me a drink. He looks like Sideshow Bob. So he's got this really, you know, in the best will in the world, he's not my type. He looks like Sideshow Bob out of The Simpsons. So, you know, says that he's like some movie guy working on James Bond, and I'm just like, amazing. I'm sure you are. kind of thing, whilst checking my phone to see where Tim was. And then Tim eventually turns up, but he sits on the other side of the goddamn room. So he sees...
Oh, he's playing his game, isn't he?
So he walks in and sees that I'm chatting to this guy. So then he just goes, oh, I'm going to go and sit over there. And I'm like, I'm literally sitting there going, hello?
Not the time to do this, actually.
Help me. So anyway, this guy's carrying, I'm like, for fuck's sake. And I was like, oh, look, that guy looks like he's sitting on his own as well. Should we invite him for a drink? So this guy, let's call him Sideshow Bob, just for argument's sake. Sideshow Bob's face goes like thunder. And he's like, oh, I think that guy's okay on his own. I'm like, no, come on over. You on your own. This is me talking to Tim like we don't know each other. So Sideshow Bob was getting annoyed because I'm like, oh, look, that guy's over there. He's on his own. Are you okay? What are you here for? And just trying to broaden the conversation. So anyway, Tim comes over eventually and we start chatting. And this guy's like, oh, I work on movies and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah. But anyway, I think he eventually gets the hint. But as he gets up, this is so like sly, he's like, well, I just wanted to let you know, I'm going up to my room now, it's number 6.
Oh, God.
I was like, uh-huh.
No, thanks.
Anyway, so he's gone, and then me and Tim are like laughing about it. So obviously then Tim and I get a drink, and I was like, all right, now he's gone, I'm going to go to the loo. As I'm walking down the stairs to go to the loo, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Now, like a bit like yourself, I'm a party girl back in the day, you know, I know. And I'm like, that's not drunk feeling. That's a bit
something
weird.
Else.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't feel your feet anymore. Like, it's all just getting a little bit spacey. And I'm like, weird. Anyway, by the time I go to the toilet and come back upstairs and I get to Tim, I'm like, I need to lay down. There is something not quite right. With how I'm feeling. So anyway, by the time we go up in the elevator, I can't walk. Tim gets me into the hotel room and I'm kind of lay on the bed. And then the next thing he knows, I'm crawling on my hands and knees into the bathroom and then I'm violently sick for ages. And then I'm like laying on the bathroom floor. Like he was like, I have never seen you like that ever. Now, I'd had at most 4 drinks in total. I would have had the, you know, those 2 miniatures in 1 glass of gin with tonic. So that's like a double, isn't it, really? Yeah. And then I would have had 3 glasses of champagne, which is not obviously even like a large glass of wine. And that's me. I'm on the bathroom floor. The next morning I wake up, I'm like, what's going on? Tim was like, I don't know what happened to you.
Wow.
Now, I think, you know, obviously we've both recounted our stories and yes, we are the lucky ones, but I think in some respects now looking back, I should have done something.
Yeah.
You know, because I was with Tim, I didn't, like you said, I didn't call an ambulance. You know, he didn't call an ambulance. He didn't talk to the hotel manager, trying to find out who this guy was, get them to check CCTV.
Yeah.
And also, as a woman, I just want it to stop, like, it to go away.
Yeah,
like,
to go away.
What the hell was that? And I'd rather just not, like, I'd rather it just pretend that it never happened.
But it's also the feeling of, did it happen? Did that, what, like, hang on, like, it's quite confronting and quite, you know, did that really just happen? And it takes a while to process of how rapid this came over both of us, but how rapid it is. And then all of a sudden you've woken up and gone, really? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that just happened to me last night. I think it's very odd feeling, very strange.
Do you think, like, I ask you a question, because, you know, of, say, for instance, we both weren't drinkers. We were teetotal and that happened to us. Then I think your perspective would be slightly different. You wouldn't question yourself. But because both of us have had experiences, and I have been out on nights out, I've never not been able to get myself home, even within in the very drunk. Most of the time, again, I turn into a homing pigeon. I basically like, I'm going to vomit. I need to go. It's basically because we've had a life and done stuff like that. Does that kind of go against us a little bit? Because then we're like, oh, did I?
I think it just creates doubt in you. And I think that's what's really difficult about when and I think for a lot of women, as to why they don't speak up about this is because I guess a lot of people just think, oh, she was just drunk. She's just trying to use that as an excuse. I'm like, well, some people do get far way more wasted than others. I think that's where I know for you and for me especially, I can definitely hold my own. And I've been, and that's where Ed was like, I have never seen you like this. Like this was out of control. And I feel though that's really must be so difficult though for a lot of women, is because if they have the tendency to get a little bit, you know, pretty wasted, or they're the type of people that once they have a few drinks, they get drunk, they kind of slur their words and, you know, a bit sloppy drunk. Maybe, you know, it's then hard for them to say, oh no, I was spiked last night. And people would be like, oh, I've seen you before look like that. You weren't spiked. So I think that's why a lot of people don't talk about it. And then because they don't want to feel judged. And I think it happens far more often than you think. We put out a post I sent to you last year when this happened to me, a warning, you know, this has just happened to me during the show. Can you put it out on Pearls of Wisdom just as can you say to people to be careful? I think there was responses of at least 6 other women that it had happened to during that period.
That show.
Yeah. 6. And then I then put it on my personal, and I was inundated with messages from people saying, this has happened to me, and with far, far worse outcome. And these are people I know, I've known for years, and I've never heard this story before. And a lot of them saying, I've just never told anybody. I've never told anybody. And that's just quite sad that we're not making everybody aware of how common this disgusting, malicious act is, and of how many women and men it's happened to.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're recording this episode and tying it into our awareness campaign for this Monaco Yacht Show. But when doing that, it's been brought to my attention that it's happened to a number of guys now.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's probably not unusual as well. It probably even less talked about than what happens to women. The motives for spiking a guy, you know, we could just assume it's the same for spiking a woman. You might get some cases that they want to rob you, but
I think that's pretty evident though as well with for women, and over say something like the show or a large event, I would say the outcome for that these predators are wanting is robbing. You look around and look at people wearing jewelry, watches, cameras, cash on them. There's a lot of money there, and I think probably more opportunists looking for, you know, okay, we'll do 10 tonight and see what we can get.
So, you know, just going back to, obviously you had 6 individuals. Were they all in the same place?
Yes.
So we're talking about a predator, let's say.
Yeah.
Or a group of predators.
Or a could group be of predators. Group
who went in and drugged a number of women, spiked a load. And then I imagine they were just waiting to see who had someone to take them home or not.
Yeah. And I think that is the most important thing to take from this, that you must always be with someone. Make sure you don't walk alone, men or women. You make sure that you're going home, whether it's back to the apartment, back to the boat, you go with somebody. On the boat Ed and I used to work on, because this, let's just forget my incident. This happens all over the world, everywhere.
Yep, yep.
In lots of bars, in lots of clubs, in lots of ports. The boat that we used to work on together, there was always a rule, is that you never walk home alone. And the boys were amazing at it. They would, if you walked up to the crew and said, look, guys, I need to go back, 2 of them would walk one of you back to the boat, and then they'd go back to the bar. And it was just an absolute no-brainer. It was such a support and such an amazing, amazing support group on the crew. But there was just, they'd be having the time of their lives. And if one of the girls had said, look, I need to go home, in particular in Antigua, this would be, they would just drop down, pool cues down, drinks down. All right, let's go. Come on, girls. They'd walk us back, two of them. So they'd walk back then two together.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just this unwritten rule. And but
do you
I
think
do feel
you left your guard, like, because obviously that was when you were on board, and you know, crew are more aware. They do know.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think most of them are looking out for each other. But we're talking about industry people, not on board.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're talking about women. These are not, you know, female crew members, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen to them, but it's, you know, it's not just those on board. I'd probably say that you'd probably just assume because you're not crew, you're okay. And also, like, Monaco's basically one of the most recorded places on the planet.
Yeah, yeah, but as well the most expensive, you know, and people are using, and I think that comes back to the possibility around the show, and maybe this is for robbing, for stealing. It's a good opportunity for people to make money, to steal off people. People are walking around with a lot on them, you know. It's I don't know, but yeah, I definitely thought I'd never ever thought that would happen to me in that environment, in that space, during the show. I had, yeah, but again, who walks into a bar at any time and go, oh, this might be the night I get spiked? Like, you just never know when it's going to happen.
No.
You don't know who's around you. And this is, it's just so important to be aware of your drink and be aware of who's buying you a drink. Like in your situation, you know, it's, so how scary is that in a lobby, in a hotel? And, you know, what if Tim was delayed and he didn't turn up?
Oh,
and he didn't get, you know, what if he then led you up to his room and that's what he was
there
for?
Well, Tim wouldn't have been
able
to find me. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would have been. So, yeah, I mean, that doesn't bear thinking about, really.
No, but unfortunately, that outcome happens to many women.
Yeah.
And men, but many women in particular, and that is the outcome from it.
Yep.
So I feel anything that I can take from my experience is just don't be alone. Don't walk home alone, and don't leave that bar alone. And if you do start to feel weird, just fucking shout to the hills.
Yep.
I'm not feeling great. Something's wrong. Somebody help me. Somebody get me home or call an ambulance, because it's just, and not to be ashamed about it and not to be ashamed about talking about it. You know, you might be the girl that does get sloppy drunk, but if you know when it's not just alcohol, and you know when it's something else, because that is a feeling like no other.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is the thing. Obviously, we both recounted our stories, and it sat with me a whole year.
Yeah.
And obviously with Yacht Pearls of Wisdom, I've had like a few highs and lows, especially recently. And it's just sat with me all year. I'm like, well, what can we do? Like, yeah. I'm an eternal optimist. How do we turn a negative into a positive? You know, and what can you do? How can you raise awareness? So obviously we've come up with the crew bags. So Crew Knowledge is Power is the bag that we'll be handing out to all of the boats. But I think, you know, it's very difficult. How do you raise awareness? Like, I don't want to stop anybody's fun, you know.
No.
And Monaco is, you know, it's a fabulous show. You're going to get to be with loads of incredible people. And I don't feel like it's fair that we have to have this in the back of our mind. I don't think it's fair that you are going to go to Monaco and you already got a bit of anxiety about it. Yeah. This shouldn't be the state of play for when women attend some of these incredible events all over the world. So how do we take power back? Yeah. And the only idea I could come up with was for us to hand out these drink protectors. Yeah. Now, the drink protectors in themselves, so obviously if you're watching this on YouTube, you will be able to see it, but if you're not, and you're listening to this as a podcast, they are foil protectors and it says stop tops. And basically you just slip them over the top of your drink. It's got a hole for a straw and it just basically, I think, is just a beacon going, I'm looking at what's going on, you know? Now, it's the whole point of these is not really to stop anybody putting anything in your drink. It's basically to show everybody in the venue that it goes on. Yes. And we all just need to take a little bit more care.
We're looking, as you say.
Yeah, we're watching. We're watching. So you're obviously, Blue Ducks Foundation and Onshore Sellers are part of this initiative. We'll be handing these out all over the show. And we've got a boomerang competition as well, because you know boomerangs, you know, the photo thing.
Yeah.
So untechnical I actually am. I've been told that they're not cool anymore. So my thing is, drink spiking's not cool either. So let's put the two non-cool things together. So we've got a competition. So when you've got your cap on and you're in these locations. Bring back the boomerang. And just show your support and your awareness that you are looking out for ladies and guys that are in the area. And our initiative is that this Monaco, it's not going to happen.
All right.
We are watching. We are aware. Basically, you can all bugger off and go ruin somebody else's day.
Yes. Kind of thing. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. No, I think we are so proud to be helping you, you know, with this. And I think the more it's like anything, it's like mental health, it's like any of those stigmas, the more we talk about it openly with each other and publicly, the more awareness there is, the more people will come up from the ashes and say, oh, yep, that's happened. And then maybe some of these venues that in particular, one venue, maybe they will start to listen and realize that this has happened over and over again in the same place. So maybe it is time to get more security or have a better idea of what's happening in the show, because it can't continue to happen in the same places over and over again, year on year, might I add, people recounting. This is not a one-off that happened last year.
It's not isolated to Monaco either. When we put out a poll after Monaco last year saying, have you had your drink spiked and where? Every marina pretty much that yachts go to was flagged. So it happens at one point or another. Unfortunately, it's just a really crappy thing that women have to deal with just to add to the stuff. But I call time on it. I'm not up for it. You know, name of the game this Monaco is that everybody gets to have fun and we send out a very stark warning that we're looking out for each other and we will not tolerate this any longer.
Yes.
Rah.
Very good. And it should be about enjoying yourselves and having a drink and meeting new people, seeing old friends, seeing old clients and friendships and businesses. That it is just such an incredible networking week. And it is and should be a lot of fun.
Well,
and
the thing is, you're well aware, you've got a lot to deal with. It's a work event whilst drinking French water. You know, it's hard, especially at our age, to keep focused on these things, you know.
Yeah, I don't need extra stuff. I really don't need for a day. No, thanks.
Don't need the extra, you know, extra stress of it. So thank you very much for taking the time to tell your story.
My pleasure.
if we could give any advice to anybody who's going to Monaco, or actually in any marina, okay, if you don't feel right, tell someone, tell the venue. I mean, the main crucial thing is tell the authorities as fast as possible. Don't be embarrassed. Just tell them.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. What's happening is women are embarrassed and doubting themselves. And then by the time they kind of like, well, no, I'm 100% sure now that that was not a normal scenario, they're not going to the authorities. So, you know, we just need to stand by each other. If anything like this has happened to you during this show or anything else, we're all here to support you. We can put you in contact with some incredible people that can support you. Because unfortunately, when stuff like that happens, it doesn't leave you as much as we try to carry on and pretend it didn't happen. You know, unfortunately, these things will resurface through either anxiety or just generally not feeling great about yourself. So yes, please reach out, contact us. Thank you so much, Jess, for joining me on this special podcast. This is our initiative to stop drink spiking in Monaco, and you know, hopefully a lot of marinas around the world. Look out for the drink protectors, and have fun. Yeah. I suppose this show. Thank
have
you
a great
so much.
Show. Thank you. Thanks, Ruth.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out our archive. We've got loads of fabulous episodes that we've already covered with some incredible women. And also we have some fantastic ones on the horizon coming in as well. If you like what we're talking about, but you also need some support, we've got the YPAL community app, which has all of our information on what we've covered and our connections to special individuals that can help you. Obviously follow us on social media, and thank you for listening.